Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was going to say, go on. So what?
Yeah.
So what, Aaron Boone?
Sure.
It's all right. I did like the line in there. I know he's trying to play it up like they're the little engine that could over there. But
it is funny. He's
everybody
right.
Kind of thought they'd be good. In fact, I actually saw they were turning a corner late last year.
Yeah. I don't like Aaron Boone, but he's spot on. And Boone and Cora, they're like friends, right? Like they have a good relationship between the two of them.
Were they together at ESPN at the same time?
Probably.
I think they probably were.
Yeah, there's probably some overlap. But they always kind of joke with each other. Boone will probably get thrown out of one of these games. Like he runs sure. A little hot. Cora will make a comment about it and like whatever. But no, he is spot on where at the end of the season, Cora's like, nobody thought we were going to make the playoffs. And if you did, you're crazy. It's like, not true. Not true. Now, if it serves as any kind of motivation or if it helps you, great. But nobody actually thought the team was going to be bad, and nobody picked every team in the division to finish ahead of you.
Well, I mean, the way they started, I started wondering how bad they were going to be.
Well, no, there was definitely, I think, at times where the confidence like teetered during the season.
Sure.
But if he's talking about end of March season predictions,
which is what he said,
most people had them in the playoffs.
He kind of walked it back yesterday. Yeah, he's like, oh, I was actually talking about Devers. No.
No, I don't think
so. You were talking about before the year. You made it clear you were talking about before the year. Yeah. I can read your comments again.
Yeah.
So you can pretend and play dumb. And this is like what he was doing the other day or a couple of weeks ago with WEEI Afternoons. Hart did a good job being like, yeah, you said you're not ready to talk about October. You've been talking about October since March. What do you mean you're not ready to talk?
No,
and he's like, oh, well, you know, I didn't actually mean that.
Yeah,
so he's having to walk things back.
Mm-hmm.
But the Red Sox are not the little engine that could. In fact, they should win this series, in our estimation,
against
the New York Yankees. Now, if you want to dial it back to the Devers trade,
I think there were that kind of split the fan base at the time. Forget it.
A lot of people were out then. Yeah. Like, if you're telling me a lot of people didn't believe the Red Sox would make the playoffs without Devers, that's accurate. But before the year, multiple people on this show had him in the World Series. Billy had him winning the World Series. Everyone had him in the playoffs.
Oh,
we all expected him to be there. So I still don't really know what he's talking about. And I'm not fully sure what he's up to. Other than what Boone said, he's just trying to play that game of they're the little engine that could.
It's the Rodney Harrison approach. It worked for him.
Macho head games.
Yeah, maybe he's trying it here.
It works if people half believe it. When the other manager's laughing at you, I think it works less.
Maybe so.
Which is my personal stance on this. So let me give this to you again. Our predictions for the series as a show. They're up at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. I have the Red Sox in two. Keefe?
Red Sox in two.
Billy's got Red Sox in two.
Yep.
Nick has Red Sox in two.
No.
Terps got the Red Sox in three.
Yeah, not really a believer.
So Terp is, maybe the most realistic out of all of us.
It's all right.
The least homer out of all of us. We want to get the New York perspective on this series. Keith McPherson from WFAN. He hosts nights there in New York City, joining us here on Jones and Keith. Keith, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Boston homers. Boston Red Sox in two. Nobody thinks this is going three. Nobody thinks the Yankees going in two.
Terp thinks it's going
three.
We have one guy. Yeah, don't shortchange him.
He's giving you a game.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think of those predictions?
That's what you're supposed to do. Your listeners are Red Sox fans. They don't want this going three. They want to get this quick and easy done. You got Garrett Crochet on the mound, Bayo on the mound. The Red Sox have owned the Yankees in the regular season, but this is a new season. This is the postseason. This is different now, different stakes. And the Yankees team that you're facing is different, too. They were rolling at the end of the year. They've evolved some. They've, tightened the screws on this thing, and I think we're ready to go.
Confidence levels is high here. Is it high there in New York, too? Do a lot of the Yankee fans feel like this is a good matchup for them?
I think Yankee fans are confident, some just, you know, because it's in the Bronx. But when it's the Red Sox, like, we owe the Red Sox. The Red Sox have eliminated us a bunch of times in the recent history, 2021 in the wild card round, 2018. You know, there's still some guys from this team, obviously the Aaron Judge, Aaron Boone era, and then obviously 2004 looms over our heads every day and night. So, you know, I think there is a little bit of fear because it's the Red Sox and there is history, but I think history is due to come around. I think the Yankees are due to put the Red Sox out of the postseason, and this Red Sox team doesn't scare me outside of Garrett Crochet.
If a Yankees fan said that to 20-year-old Little Jones, it would have blown my mind.
Anything like 0-3 or earlier.
The Yankees are due. The Red Sox have kind of dominated, and the Yankees are. That's just such a wild state. Even 20 years later, that's still such a wild statement to me.
We're in the future now. Welcome to 2025.
We're through the looking glass on this one. Why has Aaron Judge been so bad in the postseason?
Oh man, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's the captain, the highest paid player, the MVP, the face of baseball. But something I've said on WFAN for a bunch of nights this season is, he failed on the world stage. He got mocked all offseason for dropping a pop-up. And all they do is talk about his strikeouts and his low batting average in the postseason. I hope that broke him as far as, like, hey, just play. Just be yourself. Like, don't press so much. Don't think that you have to do it all. And I think this is the year we see Aaron Judge get going. I think he's got a home shade tonight if Crochet will pitch to him.
Yeah, we were looking into that matchup earlier. It's either a home run, a couple of home runs against him, or he strikes out every single time. And that's sort of been the, you know, Crochet's had pretty good numbers against the Yankees. I am curious, bullpen-wise, for New York, made a lot of additions at the deadline. It doesn't appear to be one of those lockdown, like, for years as a Red Sox fan, it was like, all right, here comes Mariano Rivera, like, the game's over. Red Sox sort of have that guy now in Chapman. Where are the Yankees at if they're protecting a lead late? What are the chances that they lock it down?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
It has been a roller coaster of a season. Obviously, you go get Devin Williams, and then the whole beard policy change and everything that happened with him blowing 9 games. And if he doesn't blow a third of those games, the Yankees are the AL East champions. David Bednar has been good, but he's given up some homers too, and not for nothing, this is his first postseason appearance. And Luke Weaver, who got us to the World Series last year, was the closer. His role has changed. Guys like Tim Hill helped out. We're going to be relying on Fernando Cruz. This is his first postseason. So, man, that is when it's going to be very tense in there. There's going to be a lot of anxiety. You're going to need those big outs. Your guess is as good as mine, but I think they're ready to roll. I think, again, this Yankees team has evolved down the stretch. They finished winning 8 in a row, and I think they all know their lanes and their roles, and at home they're comfortable and they're going to be ready to compete.
Talking to Keith McPherson, he hosts Nights for the Fan, WFAN, in New York, here to talk Red Sox and Yankees. We were digging in on Max Fried a little bit today. He had a great season, 19 wins, ERA below 3. That's a pitcher the Red Sox were in on in the offseason. Yankees offered more, as tends to happen. They got him. Red Sox pivoted to Crochet. That's your pitching matchup tonight. Are you nervous at all about Fried and his postseason track record? I know he won a World Series with the Braves in 2021. The overall numbers in the playoffs haven't been good. Is there any concern there?
Yeah. I mean, if we want to play history again and lean on that, you could feel that way. But I'm going to just go off of recency. I'm going to go off of, you know, he had a stretch of, like, a bad, I don't know, 2 months where I was on air saying, if this is the Max Fried we're getting, pack it up. We're not winning anything in the postseason. He's got to be the ace. He's replacing Garrett Cole. But in his last few, he's been solid. He's been super solid. He's been dialed in. He can go 7 innings. And if he is, you know, on the mound tonight, in command, got all of his pitches going, I'm confident that he can shut the Red Sox down. So I'm not worried about what he did in the Braves uniform.
What do you think? What would you say the biggest strength of this Yankee team is? And then also, what's the biggest weakness?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, the biggest strength is this lineup. They can hit. They hit home runs. Mm-hmm. They've got a deep lineup. I mean, even tonight, Yankee fans were calling the show last night about, hey, we're going to stack the lineup with righties. I don't know about this. How do you sit Jazz or, you know, Ben Rice or, you know, what are we going to do? Like, how? What if this? Listen, like they have a deep lineup and bench, and the whole thing is to get Garrett Crochet's pitch count up. And put the ball in play, hopefully make some mistake, and you can get him.
Ooh, hello, Keith.
Later into the game, they can, you know, get to the bullpen. You guys got me? You still hear me?
No, we got you. You broke up there for a second, but we got you.
Okay. And, I mean, the weakness of the team is mistakes, base running mistakes, errors in the field. Stupid mistakes. You guys have seen it. In that first game, I think the last time, you know, the Red Sox came to Yankee Stadium throwing the ball around, whether it's the catch, whether it's the pitcher, whether it's Volpe at shortstop, throwing the ball around the infield or being caught on the base paths. You guys remember Ben Rice and Jason Dominguez and Fenway, like, where are these guys going? Those things can be costly in the postseason. It can't happen.
Now, our listeners are familiar with your work, Keith. You had a well-documented hang-up heard around the world by John Heyman on your show on WFAN.
We still play the clip.
No, he hung up on you, correct?
Yeah.
So
no, I was telling the producer, pull him down.
So
I don't know what's going on here.
If people are unfamiliar with this, this is how that sounded. You've heard it on this show.
The whole thing has been a disaster.
So what was that? Because we had your backs at the time. We didn't even know we were eventually going to reach out to you and have you on the show and talk Red Sox. We had your backs at the time or back at the time. What happened there?
And, you know, that day, I'm from the Jersey Shore area, and, you know, I'm living up here now in the city working on the show. That day, I went home. I visited my mom. I had a bunch of stuff to do at home, and by the time I was driving back for a 7 p.m. show, I told my producer, hey, you know, it's Juan Soto watch. A lot is going on. I need an MLB reporter. Who can you get? He surprises me with the name John Heyman. I'm like, oh, great. Little did I know it was the two-year anniversary of the Arson Judge tweet. Little did I know that was a pain point for him. I am a jokester. I don't take myself seriously. I'm on the radio at 8 o'clock talking to him, and I brought that up. And then I even was leaning into stuff that comes from Twitter. I'm a young guy. I'm on the internet. And everybody talks about Scott Boras and his connection to John Heyman. And so I started ribbing him a little bit about, hey, you know, how much is this contract and what's your cut? Hey, all this campaigning you do for Boras and Soto, like, you should be getting 10%. And he didn't take too kindly to the jokes. I learned from it. You can't joke with everybody. I don't know him personally like that. It was Friday night. Clay Holmes had just signed, and that conversation went left, and I was not expecting that to go left because all I did was give him his praise as I brought him on. But, I always think that you can joke with people and be lighthearted, especially on a Friday night at 8 o'clock on the radio, and it became a viral moment for me, and I did not see that coming at all. I had no idea that was going. So I thank John for it because a bunch of people came to me. They laughed at that clip. You guys played it. I think it did get back to me. Someone called WFAN. These guys on WPI up in Boston, they've been playing that and laughing. And I'm like, well, that shows you how many people are aware of John Heyman and how, like, sometimes, you know, you can't just go into these interviews and ask the same questions. Oh, who's in the lead for Juan Soto? How many years? What's the AAV? I listened to him do the same interview on MLB Network, on Bleacher Report, on ESPN. So I took a different approach in a way that I didn't see it blowing up, but whatever, it is what it is now.
It was fantastic, and I just feel like, yeah, the old, especially baseball writers, probably do not joke around very well. I think that is one thing, but I'm glad that you did. It was very good. The Arson Judge thing, because we also, that's another thing that we thought was comical from here, but I can only imagine how Yankees felt 2 years ago with the whole Arson Judge thing. So it's good that you brought it up.
Oh, it's the Yankees. So I was listening to the radio. The first thing I said was typo. not legitimate. And what I said to John was like, dude, they put that on shirts. That's going to be remembered forever. Like, you're a legend. Like, you know, we're not laughing at you. Like, you got to just take, you got to roll with the punches.
And well, he we said, were. Like, me and Keith were.
You can forget about it.
Yeah. No. That guy blocked me on Twitter like years ago.
We're firmly
he
on.
That night on my show, I can't get to his tweets now. People got to scream at them to me. I'm like, I'm trying to stay up to date.
Hey, look, that's okay. You're not missing
no,
much.
Yeah, you're good.
Just Scott Boras propaganda. But anyway, Keith McPherson, great work there. Check him out on the Fan Nights in New York. Did we get an official prediction out of you here before? We're all on the Red Sox side.
Where are you going?
Can I hear your prediction there?
Yankees win tonight. It's Yankees in two.
Yankees
if the Yankees lose tonight, it's Yankees in three.
Oh, okay. Got it. Contingency.
Very good.
What do you expect me to say?
Double prediction. No, it's all good.
No, I didn't know we were going to get to make multiple predictions, but yes. But
Yankees in one.
Well, Keith, great work. Again, check him out on The Fan. Make sure you follow him on Twitter as well, @Keith_McPherson. You can send him all the John Heyman information as well. Keith, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Keith. Yeah, it was a... As Andy Hart texted, he's like, did he use Drake May's cell phone for the interview?
Well, the phone was a little spotty, but touch and go. But I like all the John Heyman stuff.
Well, it's funny because I thought when we played that originally, I thought Heyman did a weekly hit with him because
that was also my interpretation.
Because he was like, oh, this whole thing has been a disaster, meaning like several weeks. But no, that was a one-off.
I'm not taking this serious.
Goodbye.
John, thank you for joining us.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John.
I can't even believe it.
He was so upset.
Let me tell you.
Humorless. And then
anybody who's like, Keith did anything wrong in that interview is clueless.
No, he did not do anything wrong. But also, it's funny because this comes in a few months later. Ken Rosenthal tried to fight that cameraman, and you're like, these old baseball guys, like, holy smokes.
Such a crusty baby.
Just a tough group.
Oh. That is bold, though, to ask him about the arson judge. Just right in there on arson judge.
And
Scott Boras are buddies, right?
How do you not laugh at that?
I don't know.
Like, the arson judge thing specifically. Like, okay, how do you not laugh at that? Like, you screwed that up. You got the name wrong and the team wrong.
Look, as a man
who's get them all right.
As a man who's been hung up on by Danny Amendola.
It's true.
As a man who, we talk to Patriots players weekly, they all want to hang up.
Oh,
I understand the feeling.
Uh-huh.
So I get it. But no, that was good stuff. Keith McPherson again.
Yeah.
Make sure you check him out. Yankees in two or three.
Depending on what happens tonight.
That's a bit of a Brian Hoyer prediction.
I think it's only a three-game series. I didn't get two picks. Not even a seven-game series.
There's only so many potential outcomes in the series. Speaking of Hoyer, he is on WEEI Afternoons today, so check that out.
There you go.
Okay, real quick, I do want to get to this.
Yes.
Justin in D.C.
Justin in D.C., to his
credit, tried to call yesterday. We got sidetracked with what happened and a few other Patriots guests and things like that. So he was on hold. Mm-hmm. He wanted to face the music yesterday. He promised he would call back. Justin in D.C., hello.
Justin?
Good.
Takes a big man to admit he was wrong.
Oh, so sorry.
Oh, good. There he is. There he is.
I'm only 5'9", so I don't know how big I am, but I am here to admit not only am I wrong, earnestly, I think it was pretty amazing that in the face of the ire of Boston Red Sox fans like myself, we were pissed off. Our favorite player got traded. I still hate the trade, still hate Craig Breslow. For you guys to go out there, basically tell us we were wrong and that this team was going to make the playoffs after that trade, takes some massive cojones. Mm-hmm. And you guys deserve your kudos. Congratulations.
Well, Thank you, Justin.
We appreciate that very much. You still hate Breslow?
Yep, he does. That's okay. One thing at a time.
Guys, I'll pull back if I'm wrong and they make the playoffs next year. But to drive Giolito into the poor ground where he might need another Tommy John because you only had three starting pitchers, that's borderline abusive coming off of a Tommy John surgery. So let's just enjoy hopefully beating the Yankees and then gracefully bowing out of the playoffs because we only have two starting pitchers because our CBO is a stiff. But congratulations.
All right, well, the good start to the call there.
We'll talk again. Well, yeah. Look, the Red Sox have won the World Series. I'll still be mad about it.
I mean,
it's like Nomar and Bledsoe people back in the day, and I was one of both. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I hated the Nomar trade when it happened.
Oh, everybody did.
I loved Bledsoe. Yep. But, you know, at some point you look at it and go, you know what? The team might run around without the other guy.
I don't know if they drove Giolito into the ground. He had 145 innings this year. Also, and part of it was like an opt-out for him.
We blame the GM for the workload of the pitcher, not the manager. We blame the GM for the workload. I get what he's saying. They didn't have enough starters, whatever. How many times did they pitch Giolito on 4 days rest? It was a couple.
But he had a good season, so what were we going to do? Like, he had 26 starts. It's not like he had 33. I don't know. That's one curse. If you hate the return on Devers, I will agree with you until the end of time. Return was trash.
It was trash.
But teams have to like our players.
He also buried the system at one point,
too. They do have to like the players. That is true.
He's not a people person.
Look, he's not good in front of a microphone. Yeah. Okay? He didn't get enough for Devers. He could have done more at the deadline. Yeah. All those things are true.
Right.
He's also been a good GM. Like, I think all of those things. He's made some mistakes.
Yeah.
But the guy on the mound tonight, according to Jeff Passan, it was the best move of the offseason.
How do you like that?
And people hate this guy. It makes no sense to me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.